The poet, Evan Boland, you probably heard and heard in the news and read maybe some of the tributes online as well. She's died aged 75. It came as a huge shock to all her devotees and people who knew her. The Royal Irish Academy expressed a sympathy with her family, saying she was a pleasure to work with. I say that's an understatement. She published 10 volumes of poetry, releasing her first collection, 23 poems, in 1962, before she was 20. Years old. Her works remain very familiar to lots of people who did their leaving cert recently. Wicklow poet Jane Clark is on the line. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Declan.
Good morning to you. Great to talk to you, but sad in the circumstances. So, no doubt in common with other poets around Ireland, you were a great admirer of Evan Boland. Tell me about her.
Yeah, I mean, it is such sad news, Declan. She really was a trailblazer, and she changed the nature of poetry, not only in Ireland, all over the world, because she changed the subject matter. Because, you know, she began to write about women's lives in a way that they hadn't been included in poetry before. So she was living, for example, in the suburbs in Dundrum, and she started writing about things like she'd include the washing machine in her poems, but still they were beautiful, meaningful poems. She got the beauty of ordinary everyday life into her work. And it's interesting, the first time I saw her read was actually in Brockle Resource Centre for the Sing Summer School. And that was about 13 years ago, and she gave a wonderful reading there. I mean, I suppose just the other thing is that she was a great teacher, and she was teaching up until she died, and she's 75, and she was teaching in Stanford, and she just loved teaching. She loved being with young people, and she was very open to change and to seeing the world differently. And she just promoted young poets all along, from being a young poet herself, but all along she did that.
You mentioned about women in her writing. We tend to think that the poets of old were all men, and maybe women's poetry didn't get the fair hearing that it deserved.
Yeah, I mean, that is part of how she really made a difference, because she said that. She said that in public. And she used her authority and her position as a recognized poet to bring attention to how women poets were left out of the canon. And, so she said that when she was starting to write in the 1960s in Dublin, who was seen as a poet was male. It was just presumed. So that was, wonderful poets like Paddy Kavanagh. But that, so it wasn't that their work wasn't really good. And she loved Yeats herself. But she said that didn't allow for the identity of a poet to be female. So, and up until then, she makes the really interesting thing that up until then, women in poetry were the muse. They were written about. But it wasn't the woman poet herself who was given attention. So, and another distinction she made was between history and the past. So she said, when we read history books, it's written by the survivors. So it's the history of the heroes. But she said, what about the people in the past? And that's why her poem Quarantine about the famine is so loved. She wrote about the people who got left out of the history books. And that's what she was really interested in as well.
Yeah, it's interesting about the famine is the one that's quoted at the moment because of the resonance with now.
Yes, it is. It's quoted and people are turning to it so much. But she wrote a poem, the day after the Dublin and Monaghan bombings, she had a poem on the opening page of the Irish Times, Child of Our Time. It's this beautiful elegy for the baby that was killed in the bombings. And, so she was very able to touch our hearts. She was an intellectual. She was very articulate about her views about politics and the world. But then she'd write this very tender poem that just expressed something for all of us. I mean, just when we needed it. And that was part of her strength. And she said herself that the best political poems started in the personal, which I totally agree with. But that, you know, that was one of her, you know, she didn't separate politics and the personal. She said it's all there together. And, you know, her friend Mary Robinson, you know, quoted her on that often and said, you know, the civic life needs the life of the arts. You know, and that's what she did. She brought the life of the arts to the civic life again and again.
It's a while ago since I did my Leaving Cert, but there would have been no question of having a modern contemporary poet, a woman, on the Sibyllis back then. I think it was all to do with, you know, traditional or,
absolutely,
you know, English poets or whatever. How did she, yeah, make that breakthrough?
Well, I mean, I'm sure partly is that she, you know, she went to the States, she worked in the States, she taught in the States, and, you know, like many Irish people who had to go abroad to get known back here, to get recognised back here, to get recognition abroad, and then we'd start to say, oh, there's something here. But I suppose also she was writing in that wonderful time of feminism in the 60s and the 70s, when the world was changing, and it was changing about race, it was changing about gender, and so she came in on that wave of feminism, which was saying, you know, women need to be included in all parts of life, including in our literary world. And then I suppose she was just such an amazing poet that she couldn't be ignored and she couldn't be left out. Her voice had to be included. But yeah, no, I remember that Leaving Cert syllabus too, Declan. And I mean, I think Emily Dickinson was, you know, one of the few women poets on the syllabus. And we didn't even question that back then. That's kind of the sadness, you know, and that was in the 70s. So it was only in the 80s that that began to change. And thank goodness it has changed. Though some people would say there's still a lot to be done about the inclusion of women's voices in the literary world.
Considering, you know, she's had 10 volumes of poetry and her first collection, 23 poems, back in 1962, you can't really say what's her legacy, because it's there, self-evident. There's so much.
There is so much. Yeah, and I mean, even, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, she was the editor of Poetry Ireland Review. And, you know, so she was doing that in her early 70s while keeping a job teaching in Stanford, while writing, while publishing. But in that, she kept each edition of Poetry Ireland Review, she would promote a new poet, a young poet. You know, so, you know, she had that openness, and that's part of why she's so missed. People saw her generosity as an artist, her generosity to other writers, and particularly she was always looking to young women and giving them an opportunity. So I suppose her legacy is in, you know, it's in poetry, but it's in the way she promoted poetry and the way she helped bring poetry to public life. I mean, similarly to what Seamus Heaney did, you know, so they were both in a way coming from a different perspective, but they were both helping just everybody in Irish life get the joy of poetry in a day-to-day way, rather than it being kept in books on shelves.
Yes. You have a link to Seamus Heaney, I think, with your book, your debut book, being launched by his wife.
Mary Heaney launched The River for me in Bridge Street Books there in Wicklow. Yeah, and I was very honoured by that. I mean, I didn't know Mary or Seamus personally, but when my book was coming out, I sent a copy to Mary and asked would she do me the honour of launching it, and she said, you know, she did, and it was her first public event after Seamus died. So it was a big thing for her to do, a very generous thing for her to do. And I'm sure she'll be very, very sad today about Ivan as well.
Yeah, so your admiration of Ivan Boland is certainly coming out. I mean, she must be somebody that people like you coming to poetry after her, she was an inspiration.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And she was an inspiration at two levels, just in that one, I just loved her work. and I still love her work. And, you know, I'd go back to her work and I'd be reading her work. And we'd have all her books out around me here today. But, and also she was an inspiration in how she spoke about the role of poetry in public life and the role of, you know, the importance of women poets and about being able to change the nature of poetry. And, you know, so she was an inspiration in all kinds of ways.
So how are you getting on yourself? I mean, you're in somewhere, Glenealy or somewhere, is that right? But not originally from Wicklow.
Yeah, I'm in Glenmalure, in beautiful Glenmalure. And,
gorgeous.
I'm originally from Roscommon, but, you know, myself and Isabel, my partner, we've been living here, I think, 27 years in Glenmalure.
And I started writing
in Glenmalure. Part of the thing, we moved from Dublin to Glenmalure, and I had this dream, you know, the dream, and you never think it'll come to fruition, but I had the dream of writing, and it was when I came here that I started to write. So, you know, three publications later, three poetry books later, you know, I'm very grateful to Glenmalure for that.
Yeah, well, if there's anywhere you need inspiration, I mean, Glenmalure give it to you, the gorgeous mountains and greenery, and it's just the landscape is just incredible, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's very beautiful. And in fact, I have a program on Radio 4, BBC Radio 4 on Sunday, which is about the Miner's Way, which you probably know, this new Waymark trail that goes from Glenmalure to Glendalough to Glendaffin. So I have a program of poetry about that, you know, inspired by the Miner's Way on Sunday.
All right, what time is that?
It's at 3:30, no, 4:30 on Sunday, the
BBC Radio 4.
Yeah. I'm BBC Radio 4,
Very good.
Yeah. And I'll be interviewing some neighbours from Glenmalure for it,
Right. And from Roscommon Town, are you?
Just outside, about 4 miles outside Roscommon Town, a little place called Fuarty. And so I grew up on a farm there.
Right.
So I suppose my first book is very much, you know, evoked by Fuarty. But I think my next book will be much more Wicklow-based, you know, just by looking at the work that I'm working on now. So it's interesting. You never know what you're going to write about. It's, you know, you have to kind of follow.
It just comes to you. Yeah.
It comes to you and you follow where it goes. You follow where the poetry goes. But I think the next one will be very much Wicklow-based,
Yeah, I had to go to Roscommon to find a wife. Do you know that? Somebody from Roscommon Town, believe it or not.
All right. Well, the best of people come from Roscommon. That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what age bracket and all that. Of course, my wife is 21, and but her name is Margaret Casey, and she grew up in Roscommon.
Yes. Well, I mean, we might have been in the Convent of Mercy at the same time. Who knows?
She went there, all right. Yeah.
Right. Well, then maybe our paths crossed there.
Very good, Jane. Fine Roscommon woman, but we're claiming you in Wicklow anyway for the moment. So good to talk to you. You're very good to come on to. Yeah, sorry?
Could I read it? I have a very short poem by you.
I was wondering whether I should ask you or not, and I'm delighted you suggested it. So if you would, please.
Okay. So I'll end at that. This moment, a neighbourhood at dusk. Things are getting ready to happen out of sight. Stars and moths and rhymes slanting around fruit. But not yet. One tree is black. One window is yellow as butter. A woman leans down to catch a child who has run into her arms this moment. Stars rise. Moths flutter. Apples sweeten in the dark.
Lovely. Thank you, Jane.
Okay.
Great to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Declan.
And thank you for your tribute to the late Evan Boland. Thank you very much indeed. And that is Jane Clark from Glenmalure.